Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host Robert, and god damn it CBS, they can't ever let us have shit in this house. What's wrong with letting the world learn all about Jed Clampett? And with me, I have...
Alright, so who's next to drop the Drake diss? Pusha T, Killer Mike, Azealia Banks? Oh, nope, I went too far. It's my bad. Forgot I said that. Don't let it happen.
And...
you know who's next? Us. We gotta do this shit. We have to do this.
How the turns table, huh? Jonathan Hinkley Cole.
Yeah. Oh, God, is that actually his name?
No. I just made it up.
Man, I don't believe anything these days. But, okay, so how are we going to divide this? Because, okay, obviously Alex has to do the beat. Because he's certified educationally for that shit.
Yeah, he's basically our Metro Boomin. Well, I'm actually booming. But technically, I think him as our alchemist or Kenny Beats.
I'll take that as a compliment. Thank you.
Basically, any white hip hop producer you're faking all.
Except I can clear samples.
Hey, you gotta admit that would be an impressive like way to introduce yourself. What's up? I'm the alchemist of Decibel Boost.
One step closer to getting involved with Griselda
soon.
Yeah. So who Rob be?
Well, shit, I'm not really good at a lot of things. Hype man. I could be the hype man.
Okay, be the hype man. Okay. Guess I'd be the main one. Because why I say it's what that diss, I admit, because some of you might think that, the Drake made, okay, he didn't do too shabby, I can admit that, he did some shots in there, I will say there's some things that I will say, you really want to say that, like the whole thing where he mentioned, where he mentions Kendrick doing pop features for Taylor Swift and Maroon 5, this comes from a pop rapper? A mentioned an Interscope, you know, a part of UMG. Funny how that your side of the Republic, you know, another UMG label, and since you've been Taylor Swift, did you do a commercial with her that one time for Apple Music?
How deep in the weekend OVO drama should we go as well?
I don't know. Do we got the time for that? Because we could probably be here for hours.
That's been simmering for 12 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't mention this. You talk about how Kendrick gets featured as the top dog. Ain't you the same man who people like Jay Prince and Birdman in your pockets? Especially Birdman. Remember Cash Money? Remember how people got fucked on that label?
Poetic Justice was so long ago. Although, I will mention this from a show I listened to earlier in the week. You never hear this stuff happening with Rockefeller.
Got him.
There's a lot we can get into, but at least that label of artists, they're kept relatively well-fed. Whereas everybody else on OVO is just trying to rummage for scraps.
Yeah, exactly. And you gotta talk about Drake getting me as a hit maker. Especially for the weekend at that? You forget what this man's biggest hit is now?
Yeah.
God. What are the odds we're gonna get a third future Metro album out of this?
That's what we call. No, really, we still don't trust you. Now we're gonna shoot you.
How deep can we go? How much of a shit can we give to Future? How long will it last?
Oh man, this is gonna be one of the most entertaining. You know, it occurs to me like there really's got to be. I almost regret not putting this in the documents, because I've been begging for a while. Because, okay, so, let's see. Fyre Festival? Threaten? Woodstock 50? What was the last time we had a really good storyline in this podcast? It has been a hot minute.
Oh. Yeah.
We might need this one.
We're going to have to put our own Pepe Silvia board together when all this is said and done.
Okay, you say that, but I feel like if we do, I'm going to have to run to Staples because I think my roommates aren't going to let me use the household whiteboard again. I already used it for mapping out every single franchise that's ever connected to Tekken. It was a wild afternoon, man. I still have the photos from that mental breakdown masquerading as lore building. Anyway, here we are. Yeah, we might have to do some sort of like post-mortem autopsy on all this. Here we are at episode 346. How's everyone's week been going outside of the beef?
Relatively fine. Just, you know, back to the usual week of weeking after I got back from the beach, which was fun. I needed it. Not much else to say other than it's just back to normal for a little while. Also, it was almost 90 degrees here today. I did not sign up for this. It's only April.
Yeesh.
Yeah, weather is a fickle bitch, isn't it?
The ficklest. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Okay, outside of beef, I'll say my last 2 days sucked. Maybe because, Carter was came back again. Yeah, it has not been a good 2 days for me. Like, it started Sunday again. It started with my car not starting after I got off work or after I got from the store. It happened again. It's taken care of now, but I think it's a sign that I should probably get a new car. This shit got me stressing out a lot.
I can imagine.
That's the part that sucked. In other words, this video that I saw about this, which is funny as fuck, it's this guy named Ace Bane called Drake drops a diss record where you talk about how Rick Ross responded like you start to try like it's kind of funny like the whole point being like I didn't make the beat yet, I made a piece of it, like okay fine, I guess I'll just do a beat, like I do a response, he just did a response. How? This was one of the few things that kept my mind off shit. Like this made me just made me laugh. I needed that.
We do what we can to stave off the bad thoughts. Anyway, as for me, speaking of bad thoughts, so I've discovered an interesting new problem in this particular part of the house that I call a bedroom. So in the corner where I am sitting right now, where I have my computer and stuff set up, and you know, I'm on the left side of the bed and everything, I noticed earlier in the week that there were a few spots on the floor that were mysteriously wet. Like, I don't remember, like, spilling water in here or anything. I would have remembered if I did, but yeah, the floor was just kind of, like, weirdly soggy, and eventually after, like, a bit of testing around, kind of laying a towel down, feeling around, I noticed, like, I think it's just some kind of water seeping through the floor. I even, like, at one point, like, got up really close and just kind of started, like, pressing down on the floorboard just to see. And, yeah, water was kind of squishing out for some reason.
Ooh.
That sounds like an issue with the air conditioning unit, maybe?
I, you know, the thing is, my roommate was saying the same thing, but I'm not understanding how, like, I guess I'm not entirely sure how, like, granted, sure, the air conditioner is literally right above, like, the computer area, but I'm not sure why that would lead to water leaking out of the floor.
This happened to me a while ago. AC units are fickle. There's a lot of water running through it. And sometimes through, like, the condenser, it can leak. It happened with me outside of my, you know, out of my bathroom where the AC unit is located. I spent 4 days cleaning up everything with vacuum, with wet vacs, wet dry vacs, a carpet cleaner, towels, everything. Not fun.
Yeah, see, I'm kind of trying to run through that as well, because, like, I don't think, because I know what you're talking about. I think my roommates literally dealt with the same thing in their bedroom, like, a few months ago, but, like, it doesn't look like there's anything leaking directly out of the AC. Not to mention,
it never does. It never does. It's always underneath.
Oh, so, like, I guess, like, I'm trying to understand here, because I also saw, like, a little bit of leaking water on, like, the other side of the room and the floorboards there.
It tends to be usually underneath. It's a very, very tricky process of how it works. A lot of pipes involved. Trust me, it's a pain to you know, fix. Sometimes you get lucky. Other times you end up having to do a lot of manual repair work to fix a lot of carpeting.
So, like, I'm trying to follow. So what you're saying is, like, there's, I guess, like, a wiring or pipe system or whatever that might also be running, like, from underneath the hardwood floor to the AC?
Yeah. There are pipes in the main unit that basically run water through it, through the pipes through the sink, which goes out to, you know, the outside. If there's a buildup, it can leak out.
Boy, that's gonna be fun.
I recommend calling someone. Call a professional, not me.
I did inform the, because the thing is, we rent this place, so I had to let the landlady know. Also, I'm a little bit paranoid because I did see some local news reports about a wastewater leak in the area.
Oh, no.
But, honestly, at this point, I don't even know anymore. I just do not want water to be leaking and stuff. Can it not do that? I mean, at the very least, it's not too severe at this point. Like I said, you'd only really notice if you were, like, pushing down on the wood boards, but, man, I don't want... Why does it have to be, like, in the area where I keep my computer, you know? I don't got anywhere... It's a bit of a tight fit in here. I can't really move it anywhere else. Not without a whole lot of manpower. But anyway, that's enough about the nature of home rental and air conditioning. So now we're going to move on to our usual weekly business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us, pick up some new tunes for your, you know, playlist and all of that fun jazz. So let's start right up at the top. So looks like the band Architects are gearing up for a decent amount of touring activity soon. They have a run of dates consistently throughout May, and then later on some dates in October. So to kind of mark the occasion, we have a new one-off single here called Curse. And I guess interestingly, it features guest contributions by Jordan Fish, the former keyboardist for Bring Me the Horizon. Yeah, I forget if he like left of his own accord or got fired recently, but either way, he's not with them anymore. So, again, we're dealing with modern era Architects. So the thing is, like, when you hit play, you get the verses, which are alright. Like, it's not top tier, but the riffs do have, like, a solid energy to them. And I do like some of the grooves and sticking patterns that the drums are laying down. But then the chorus comes in, and it suffers from the same last few albums problem of just being annoyingly poppy. Like, it's not worst BMTH album bad, but it definitely feels like the band just kind of going on autopilot for their chorus writing. And there's also something about the production here that sounds off in a way I can't really explain. It sounds like, I don't know if it's like the tone of the guitars or just the fact that it kind of sounds like some stuff is overpowering the other stuff. Like, something about the vocals feels like it's still kind of like at the demo stage, needing another run through or two at like the DAW, if you catch my drift. I don't know. This song just didn't do much for me at the end of the day.
Yeah, the song is fine. It's very basic drop tune metalcore. But I don't know if there's more I can say, or else I'll get blocked by the band for bringing up Adam's, shall we say, extracurricular interests in moronic bigotry.
Oh, God. Do I want to know?
This dates back to about January. It involves Tim Pool, which that should tell you all you need to know. There was a quote-unquote apology, but nothing ever since. And then some people noticed that they were getting blocked by the band for bringing up a very serious issue of, hey, one of your guitar players is a fucking idiot who hates trans people for some reason.
Oh, boy.
And then the block button happened. So, yeah, everything's going swell for Architects right now.
All right, no for the future. This band is in the bin.
For the time being, until they get their shit together.
Anyway, let's move on to a band that is not in the bin. So, the Louisiana sludge metal band Thou has had a few projects out in the past couple years. Mainly collaborative ones with the likes of Mizemore, and I could be pronouncing that wrong, and those EPs with Emma Ruth Rundle. But the last time they were on their own was back in the year of 2018 with the studio album Magus and the trio of EPs that came out before that album's release. But it looks like Thou's got a new proper solo album dated for May 31st titled Umbilical. So we have the first single here, I Feel Nothing When You Cry. Very brutal song title there.
Okay.
So, I'll admit I'm normally used to the bands taking things a bit lower and slower than what they're presenting on this song, which does make it stand out quite a bit as it's got more of this sort of driving tempo feel to things. The guitars, of course, got like that saturated muddy tone, but also that very grooving swagger. The drums kind of follow suit similarly with a lot of double kick and that kind of alternating snare hi-hat pattern there. It's a really interesting vibe. It's got a good energy to it, and I'm wondering if this is just like an anomaly, like if the rest of the album is going to be like similar tempo, or if it's going to be the usual like low and slow that is the tempo. But I mean, I'm here for this song at least.
Yeah, it's pretty heavy grating, but it's got some groove hidden in the kind of brick walls of abrasive production, so it goes a bit above the expected black metal fare for me. Not sure I'd listen to more of it voluntarily, but for what I heard, it was pretty alright.
Interesting. So now we move on to the next track here, which is a Lucy track, and oh hey, we haven't talked about this guy in a while. Your old Droog.
It's been awesome for him. So yeah, so we got a Lucy here, and once again, it's a Lucy. Lucy with him, produced by Madlib.
Nice.
The team up again. All right, and we got some feature guests here. Now the Method Man, and oh look, Denzel Curry.
Nice. This is a collection of talents. I see.
And the title of the track is called DBZ.
See, What was I saying last month? DBZ's creative DNA is in every fucking thing. You can never escape it.
Yep. I will say this. You look at the cover, they all just as dudes from Street Fighter. For some reason. Which, okay.
I guess that must have been a play on, because I remember the Scaring the Hoes tour poster also had, like, retro fighting game imagery in it.
Okay, so, about the song, basically, like, the first verse from Joe Duke got this verse, him going, ain't no villain, you're Dylan Brooks, let me guess what you're doing, so you're trying to diss. And I know Alex got that reference.
Yes. So this guy is such a fucking clown, always trying to play the tough guy. Oh, I'm going to hurt someone. Just shut up and go back to the bench, you fucking poser.
Oh, yeah. Here it goes. Let me guess, you're on your grizzly trying to diss me like I'm looking at him like Braun, Doc Wizzy, Doc Wizzy.
I remember that game. That was fun.
Okay. And there's a reference that I did get like all these projects. I feel like Prince B. Wow, these KRS, you Prince B. Who? Get off the stage and leave home in a rage. He's referring to that time, which now remember that KRS-One threw off Prince B from PM Dawn off the stage for some reason. I don't know why. It happened way back in the 90s. I guess that shit happened but then was why don't you just know spin this verse? Method Man got a good verse going on, which he said, going for it, and be like the father, darker than DMX on the street of Yonkers, which, okay, that's out of DMX, which I appreciate. And then there's a crate, which his verse goes, five rings on the hand, might order Masamushi, working to get big, that's it, right?
I was gonna say that's the one lyric I wanted to bring up that I thought was really funny. Five rings on my hand, Miyamoto Musashi, which is
Musashi.
Again, Curry getting in on his weeb shit, not just because that's a deep cut, you know, popular Japanese historical reference, but any all weebs out there ever read Vagabond? If you know, you know.
Yeah. The next line is, we're gonna get bigger than the nigga who started Degrassi.
Okay, is everyone just going to war on Drake now? Because I'm all for it.
Everyone's throwing out the fucking smoke. God damn.
He also added, just constantly using big words to make you lyrical and going back into the swimming pool to make you spiritual. Now, I don't know. I guess that's a reference towards King, which I guess according to Genius, it's the verse to Kingdom Mars verse on No More Parties Now. Oh, okay. Oh yeah, that song. Okay, anyway, all right, this is some good stuff. But the beats are right with the usual bad thing going on, and I like how it starts with a sample which. I'm guessing they say, consider this, or what shit is this, or like, because that's a sample I heard that somebody used in Thuggin' by Freddie Gibbs, which of course, that connects things, but this is my exclusive.
I gotta tell you, the Miyamoto Musashi thing made me really laugh because. Sometime in the past week, one of my favorite, speaking of Vagabond, one of my favorite manga YouTubers, a guy named Alex, not Alex, Alex, uploaded a video talking about the works of Takehiko Inoue, and at one point, he uses the following description. Miyamoto Musashi is the Dennis Rodman of samurai.
Okay. More festival purposes.
Okay, so basically, really flashy, doesn't do much, but hangs out with the right people to win.
Also, from what I'm told, Rodman loved causing trouble in the court for no fucking reason.
Yeah, and also hanging out with the NWO as well. It's that's a story for another time.
Yeah, but honestly, interesting video. Again, his name is Alex, like Ahlecks. Anyway, enough of the weeb talk. Let's move on to the next track here. So, as we all know, John Carpenter, Cody Carpenter, and Daniel Davies are dropping a new Lost Themes project May 3rd, titled Lost Themes 4 Noir. We have a single number 2 from the album here, titled He Walks at Night. And, of course, as soon as it opens, it's that nice, those nice eerie tones that aren't, perfectly melodic or musical. It's really more just, a sound bed of just, eeriness. And then once you start really getting going, the synths begin to kick in, layer on the melodies and chords as they go. once it kind of like drops out at the halfway mark, there's a lot of like this more tense bridge, which adds in all the sense of dread. Like, whatever this guy's investigating, he should probably not, if he knows what's good for him. You gotta be wearing some nice new cement shoes if you catch him adrift. I don't know why I'm doing the thing with my hands here. None of you can see that. But the point is, it's a good song. It's that nice, creepy, synthy atmosphere that you want from the Carpenters and Davies.
Yes. Haunting and melodic. Hits all the good spoopy vibes.
What they said.
Yes, and speaking of spoopy vibes, nothing, because this next track is completely unrelated to that. So, we've been talking a bit more about Dua Lipa in these past few months, because she's been gearing up for a new album. I forget if we mentioned it the last time we had to talk about her, but we do actually have, like, the information and stuff. So, May 3rd, we'll see the release of her new album, Radical Optimism. God, that title's bad. that just sounds like a really toxic Instagram account.
Radical Optimism.
Yeah, but anyway, marketing aside, we have the newest single, Illusion, and good lord, this is still not doing anything. Like, I really don't know what it is, because it's not like it's that different from what Future Nostalgia was doing in a sense, but there's just no fizz. This doesn't have the sauce. It doesn't got the juice. And let me put it like this: the big highlight on this song, if I had to pick one, it's not anything that Dua Lipa herself is doing. It's a random keyboard solo that comes up before the last chorus. Like, that's the most memorable part of the track. Everything else is just kind of a wash here. And God, I even kind of hate the way she sings the song title. Granted, it's not as bad as that fucking Camila Cabello track, but it's still not good. Like, y'all gotta learn how to sing your song titles properly. Goddamn.
Okay. Amusing and Illusion is an all-time whack rhyme. I'm sorry. But at least the rest of the track is moderately okay. There's not much more I can say about it. This is as boilerplate as it can possibly be, and I don't think that's a good thing.
So, well, it's not too terrible. I mean, it then again flew in one end out, flew in the other. Duchess, I fine, I guess. I mean, she's got people like Kevin Parker and Danny L. Hall to do it. He's like, okay, I get your line on both Tim Impala and the guy who usually produces most of Caroline Polachek stuff. Which, again, you said the album is a tribute to a psychedelic pop infused tribute to UK rave culture. Then again, or at least you describe it as your kind of like your tribute to Massive Attack. Well, I don't know anymore. It's like, this, I don't know, it just sounds bleh.
Yeah, that is a combination of words and stuff. I don't know. I don't have much to say about this. So, that pretty much wraps it for the new song discussion. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we have a decent amount of news to touch on. So, stay tuned. And we're back. So we have four news topics to discuss here, the first of which is an album announcement. Now, usually we save those for the new song discussion, since normally they come with singles, but this one's a little bit of a different scenario, so hear us out. In the past week, Billie Eilish announced that her third studio album, Hit Me Hard and Soft, is going to be coming out May 17th. We have a trailer for the album. There's also the artwork, which kind of has like her floating in a vast dark ocean with a door kind of opening towards her way. Honestly, I'm going to be that guy. This looks like a Kingdom Hearts reference. Look, before I was a music nerd, I was a Kingdom Hearts dweeb. You can never get rid of that from me. But, yeah, of course, as with pretty much all of her music, it was written in collaboration with her brother Phineas, no Ferb. And what she herself specifically said was that she has no plans to release any singles from the album. In fact, if we're going to quote directly from her Instagram, the Instagram post announcing the album says, "Hit Me Hard and Soft. My third album comes out May 17th. It's written with a lot of exciting language. Not really like that. Anyway, so crazy to be writing this right now. I'm nervy and excited. Not doing singles. I want to give it to you all at once. PPP. Phineas and I truly could not be more proud of this album, and we absolutely can't wait for you to hear it. Love you, love you, love you. A whole line of upside down smiley faces."
As someone who appreciates the art form of the album, as opposed to just a collection of singles with other tracks on it, bold move. I applaud it. It'll be interesting to see what happened as a result of it, but I think the brand name will speak for itself.
Yeah. Sorry, give me a minute. My roommate just walked in with a cat.
That's always welcome.
He's a very cute cat. He's soft. He has very soft floof and a snoot that's worth booping, but can I help you with something? I do appreciate the cat, though. Cats are wonderful. Anyway, getting back to the normal podcast. So, here's what kind of fascinates me about this in the context of Billie Eilish specifically. So, I realize this is going to sound a bit stereotypical, but, like, in recent months, we've been talking a lot about TikTok and kind of the musical landscape of that and how it's been affected by, like, you know, all the UMG stuff. I don't recall off the top of my head if Interscope and Darkroom, which are the labels distributing this album, have any affiliations with UMG, but it's obvious, it's a pretty obvious statement to say that Billie Eilish is very much like a TikTok artist, like in the sense that if there's any platform or source of engagement and popularity that you most associate with the music of Billie Eilish, it is TikTok. TikTokers fucking love themselves some Billie. I can attest to this. I live in a house with TikTokers. They all listen to a decent amount of Billie Eilish, including myself, because she slaps.
Huh. Just to jump in, Interscope is part of Interscope Geffen A&M here in the U.S., which is part of UMG. So
yeah,
that answers that question.
So I wonder if that might have had something to do with it. Like, I guess either her or the label being like, great. Although, who knows, that might not stop people, because, like, once it comes out all at once, that will obviously leave it up to the fans to determine, you know, I guess what the hits are, what are, and we'll see how things shake out from there. I mean, either way, I'm very interested. I've enjoyed her past two albums. I'm pretty sure I'll enjoy this one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She also made a note that, every physical release of this album will be produced with, the quote is, 100% recyclable materials. Sort of following up how she said that it's kind of, the quote is, wasteful, that there are various numerous physical editions of albums, as in different CD variants and vinyl variants. yeah, that's a W. I'll take that.
Nice, nice.
Just give me straight black vinyl. It sounds the best.
Interesting. I'd never thought about that before. But, yeah, so obviously we have, you know, May 17th to look forward to. A lot of stuff coming out in May now that I think about it. That's going to be a fun month. But now let's move on from that to the next article here. So, obviously Kendrick has been in the news a lot. And yeah. This is a Kendrick Lamar related news story that doesn't have anything to do with rap beef. I don't really have any sort of wind up to this, just gonna say it. Apparently Kendrick Lamar and some guy named Dave Free are collaborating on a live action comedy project with Trey Parker and Matt Stone, the creators of South Park.
Oh yeah, I've been hearing this for a while.
Yeah, yeah. Two notes. They are producers. The writer of this project is one Vernon Chapman, who does stuff for South Park, but is also part of PFR.
See, now that assuages my concerns a bit, because I'm trying to remember, because I've seen a decent amount of PFR stuff. I don't know off the top of my head what specifically he's written for, but like...
This is the guy who created The Heart She Holler, Shivering Truth, Wonder Chosen, and Xavier Ranked Angel.
Oh, dude, fucking Shivering Truth fucking rules. Okay, I'm down yeah, now.
So this is the guy here.
Yeah, I am officially, like, on board now.
Okay, yeah. And also, Mr. Dave Free, he's part of, you know, PG Lang thing that, you know, Kendrick are doing.
Oh, yeah, we never quite figured out what that was supposed to be. I
don't think we'll ever know, but to note, they're all producers here. They're all producers. They're producers on a movie with a different writer, with a cast we don't know yet.
Yeah, so pretty much... Okay, so here's what we do know. We do actually have, like, a date on this as well. It's opening on July 4th, 2025, being distributed, of course, by Paramount. And apparently it's got a decent amount of competition going on in that rough time frame. So, for context, July 2nd is the release date for the next Jurassic Park movie. Apparently the next... the Warner Brothers DC attempt at rebooting the DC universe with James Gunn's Superman movie comes out July 11th, and who knows what else might be happening in that time frame. So, we don't really have any details about what the movie is about, other than the talent involved in it. The only real statement we have is from Paramount CEO Brian Robbins, who... is probably looking over his shoulder after that whole ID documentary thing.
Yeah, that.
His words are, in this case, this script is one of the funniest and most original scripts we've ever read, and it's certain to create some fireworks. Fireworks? Is that a pun? Because the article here in Variety says, get the pun. I don't get the pun.
What pun?
Miss, what are you, hang on, who wrote this? Brett?
Because it's on July 4th, that's why.
Oh. Ew.
It's a very cheesy pun, I know, but, yeah.
I am, not really all that fond of fireworks these days, to be honest. They're kind of annoying, and I also, they freak out animals and such.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we're going on a tangent a bit. Like, it says the news came part of, like, you know, Paramount's Comic Con presentation where they show, you know, footage of trailers, so, from sequels and stuff like Smile, Sonic the Hedgehog, which, okay, Keanu Reeves a Shadow. That'll be interesting.
I need Paramount to exist until the end of the year so I can see that. Do not go bankrupt. Do not sell yourself. Last until the end of the year. Then you can do whatever the hell you want.
Yeah. I'm reading this last part. You're rebooting the Scary Movie franchise? Wait, you're rebooting the Scary Movie? Really?
How does a reboot of that even work?
Look.
This is Paramount. They don't have any good ideas left. They're doing another Gladiator movie 25 years later. The well has run long dry.
Yeah, you can see a Scary Movie. I mean, I know they now have Miramax now. Remix now, and
that's another bit of studio menagerie.
And considering what I heard how the Weinstein booed the Wayans off the franchise, and then came three wasn't too bad. Four, five, nah. Like, I don't know. I don't know about that. I know I don't know the Wayans brothers are, you know, they've been hit or miss at least the last couple of years. I mean, but you're even going to reboot this without them, considering like the first two better than the
It's just a lot of fuckery.
And also Kratom movies, they've been dead.
Yeah.
Especially after, yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Although, yeah. Just because it's now in my head, I have this scene playing. Surprise! Surprise, Cindy.
Okay, then. Look, either way, I mean, as long as Matt and Trey are just producers, then I think we're good.
Just producers.
Yeah, I have moved past the need for those two writing things, but
yeah,
we all have.
Yeah, it keeps until we kind of have grown up South Park.
Although I do have a vague memory of the fact that I'm pretty sure they did a Kendrick Lamar joke in an episode. I never watched it, but I think it was a joke about like those fucking voice assistants, like Alexa, Bixby, and all that. Except they swapped them out for, like, you know, trucker rednecks. They had, like, one of them, Cartman was like, hey, play me a song. And he just whips out a guitar and just starts doing, like, a country cover of Humble. I think that was the joke. I have to double check.
Okay.
It's hard to find out what the jokes actually are nowadays.
Yeah.
But there's not much more to say about that. So yeah, Let's move on to the next topic, where we're still in the topic of musicians and movies. So, according to reports from, again, Variety and the such, it looks like director Spike Lee will be making a new film in collaboration with A24 and Apple Original Films. Production's already begun. The film is titled High and Low, and it will feature the acting debut of Ice Spice.
Okay.
Who is a rapper that exists, and I have not paid attention to her music at all. I don't know. I feel like I've heard enough discourse to be like, yeah, I'm gonna wait until the flames die down, but who knows?
I'll just say it's kinda shitty, padumptus.
But who knows? Maybe she might cut it better as an actor. So, like we said, Spike Lee directing. Ice Spice is an actor in this. A24 and Apple Original Films are involved. And apparently this is an adaptation of an Akira Kurosawa film. Interesting.
Yeah.
Can't say I know much about the original. Sorry, go ahead.
Yep.
Okay, I'll say, of course, we saw Denzel Washington, who, of course, you know, him and Spike Lee go way back. It also be the first film together since Inside Man in 2006, which, well, I ain't seen that in a while.
And yes, this was first made into film by one Akira Kurosawa back in 1963, as it was a loose adaptation of the novel King's Ransom by Ed McBain, parentheses Evan Hunter. That's just what it says here. It was a pen name, but I can see this being an interesting turn of events. And for what it's worth, I trust Spike Lee to do some productive work for A24 instead of Alex Garland, who doesn't know shit about shit.
Oh boy! Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's a movie that exists.
I don't get the hype y'all have for that fucking movie. It's the pure cost of it just doesn't work at all. Like, not to mention the fact that Alex Garland lost me long ago with some of his more recent shenanigans. I have not forgotten Men. That was such a fucking waste.
Wait, that was
the last one? Yes,
I believe so.
The last one I see from him was Ex Machina. I'll leave
also,
it at that.
I mean, I don't know. I liked Ex Machina. I'll say that. But Yeah, the fucking discourse TM, but
yeah,
we're not here in the business of that stuff. Yeah. So
hopefully Spike Lee can direct Ice Spice good. Hopefully better than he did Nick Cannon and Chirac.
Deep cut, kids, look it up.
Yeah, that was fucking weird.
Go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, most Spike Lee stuff recently, it's hit and miss. Like I still like Spike Lee, although I haven't seen his last movie, The Five Bloods, the one that had Chadwick Boseman in a bit role before he passed away. But yeah, that's last movie he had. That's on Netflix. Oh, yeah, that's right. That was on Netflix.
Ah, good old Netflix. AKA the only way to access Delicious in Dungeon.
Yeah, man, that show is so good.
I need to catch up with it at some point. But anyway, that's about all we have to say on that. So let's move on to the last news topic here. And funnily enough, once again, we're talking about the whole TikTok thing. So remember, earlier this year, there had been a whole thing between Universal and TikTok where they, due to a licensing dispute, pulled so much of their music from the platform, which means if you're the type of person who liked doing videos in cosplay to the likes of Drake, Ariana Grande, and the such, you were basically shit out of luck. You would, I don't know, you would probably have to, like, develop more niche taste, like, I don't know, maybe you could be a Makima cosplayer that has, like, clipping playing in the background. I don't know why. I'm just saying it could happen.
You could, I guess you should do a Kabini cosplay playing Griselda, I don't know.
There's an idea. But, of course, one of the bigger artists implicated in the entire situation is none other than Taylor Swift, who had a lot of her music pulled from the platform as soon as the contract expired. But according to reports from various websites like Pitchfork and Variety, they had decided that Taylor Swift's music is allowed back on the platform. So, let's quote specifically from Todd Spangler and Jem Aswa, two reporters who were speculating about the situation. So, in their words, quote, "However, it seems likely that the platform reached a separate deal with Swift, who owns her masters and presumably would have the ability to strike her own arrangements, even though her music is distributed by UMG and the band has extended to all artists with similar deals." So, yeah, that is a good point considering the entire, thing with the ownership of Taylor's music and all. Fuck off, Scooter Braun. But again, that's just speculation on the part of Variety reporters. Pitchfork, I know, in their article said they reached out to various representatives from all the parties involved. Taylor Swift, UMG, TikTok. So, who knows? Maybe there might be a clearer picture of what's happening. But I'm kind of inclined to agree with the idea that because Taylor has a relatively more direct ownership of her music, that she's the one that ultimately calls the shots.
Mm-hmm. So it's my music. I do what I want with it. So, yeah, if you're on TikTok, yeah, play it on TikTok. If you're on TikTok, play it on YouTube, on X videos, or maybe not that.
Okay. Slow down.
Yeah, Mark, God, I didn't know you were one of those guys. I thought you subscribed to Hentai Haven like a real adult.
Hey, that type of business in the streets? In the streets?
We're going to... the weird things to talk about in this podcast, but... yeah, so... Well, obviously, good news for all the Swifties on TikTok, so, do what you will with that information. I don't know, maybe we can have, Bad Blood videos from people cosplaying Ninja Kamui. I don't know, I feel like Akira from Zom 100 would be bumping Shake It Off in the motorcycle.
Probably.
Okay, but who would be doing very dramatic reenactment set to All Too Well?
Let me think. Shit.
The mind wanders.
Haramichi Sakuragi!
Fuck it, why not?
Okay.
I need to get back to reading Slam Dunk. By the way, I am very excited for the first Slam Dunk Blu-ray coming out over the summer.
Hooray!
Like, I saw it in theaters, but I never got to see the dub. But yeah, that at this point, if we go on any longer, we're just going to be devolving into, like, feral nonsense. So, we gotta move on. That's about the end of that. Covers all the news topics, and now we just have one last thing to touch on, and that is the new album releases for the week of April 19th, 2024. Starting at the top from Doom Metal Act, My Dying Bride, we have the album Immortal Binding. From High on Fire, we have their new album Cometh the Storm, which may or may not have conspiracy theories on it, but that's none of my business. From the screamo band See You Space Cowboy, we have Coup de Grâce. From the underground, you know, crust band Couch Slut, their new album, You Could Do It Tonight. As we mentioned, I believe, last week or so, from Gangrene, that is The Alchemist and Oh No, Heads I Win, Tails You Lose. From Dennis Rodman's favorite band, Pearl Jam. I've learned many a thing about Dennis. There's their new album Dark Matter, and oh hey, look at that, Taylor Swift. We're getting her new album this Friday, The Tortured Poets Department. You know, maybe that's why she let her music back on TikTok. She just needed the promotion.
Yeah. Well, album bomb number. I lost count.
Yeah. Shame that Deadpool Society was taken, which is a fantastic movie you should all watch. It's very good.
Yeah, you know, it would just be like that. Actually, you know what this sounds like? To anybody who's ever played Persona 5, you know how, like, there's a store where you can rent movies, but they all have those fakey, like, Wish.com kind of names? Maybe that's what they call the Dead Poet Society in the world of Persona 5. The Tortured Poets Department. Ren is just sitting there with Morgana and they're watching movies. Anyway, now it's time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Still, for the time being, this show, my other show, the Discord, various other Discords, and that's about it, because everything sucks, everything's a mess, nothing is good in the world for various reasons, and y'all motherfuckers need Jesus.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, on this show, Matt telling me on where you can find me, if I'm there or not. And of course, my site, mythyperone.com. Shit might happen, I don't know.
Perhaps it might. And as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Blue Sky, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on the likes of Apple Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Be sure to follow us on Twitter @SurrealRezo. Like us on Facebook. Visit the website, SurrealResolution.com, for written articles, this podcast, podcast L1A, and all of that good stuff. Be sure to jump into our Discord server as well, so that way you can be immediately notified whenever new stuff goes up on there. It's the best way to be notified. The most reliable, in our opinion. So, yeah, that'll about do it for this week. Thank you for listening. We'll, of course, be back next week with more of the usual shenanigans, nonsense, anime references, sports references, maybe a video game reference. Who knows? We might walk out of this podcast with a contract for a movie or something. But, yeah, until next time. I don't know, maybe Poseidon died and is hiding under the floorboards or something.